Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book, the Gospel Record of John, to the Gospel Record of John. We're finding our way in chapter number 1. We started a new series today on the Gospel Record of John, exploring this wonderful look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And with it, we're studying the principle of understanding the love of God. That when we understand God's love, when we see how much He truly loves us and cares for us, it changes us. It helps us to have a different perspective. It helps put things in order. Looking at Christ, seeing Him love the unlovely, should do something to every single one of us. We find our way in the Gospel Record of John in chapter number 1, and we continue starting at verse number 6. The Gospel Record of John chapter 1, and notice with me in verse number 6, the Bible says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a special phrase that we find in the Gospel Record of John chapter 1? And notice with me in verse 8, the true light. The true light. And with the Lord's help, we want to see the Lord Jesus Christ as portrayed here, that He is the true light. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're asking that you would give us grace, that you would give us mercy, that you would give us understanding. Help us to learn more about whom you are. I'm thankful that you are a God who loves us. I'm thankful that you are a God who's rich in mercy. I'm thankful that you love us when we're unlovely and when we reject you and that when we put you aside, you still loved us yet. I'm asking that we would be amazed by you, that we'd be awed by you tonight. Again, I am very conscious of my own limitations. I'm asking that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me as you see fit to get your work accomplished, that it'd be all about you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue with the Gospel Record of John this morning, we were introduced in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we explained that this Word is the revelation of the Lord of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was Jesus Christ robed in flesh, that He is currently, present tense, God, and He has always been God. He was the Creator God. And verse 4, it explained that this Word was also life, and the life was the light of men. Now, carrying with that same idea, the Gospel Record of John continues with this principle to explain the light that Jesus Christ is. That the light was made to point to God, to give a clear path, to make it so everyone can see clearly how to get to God. That was the main purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue to through this passage, as it introduces the Lord Jesus Christ, not through his genealogies, but directing him straight to God, we find, first of all, the witness of that light. The witness of the light. In verse number 6, it introduces us to another person. Verse number 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Of course, this is making reference to John the Baptist, the forebear. The main purpose of John the Baptist, according to prophecy and history, is that he was to make the way straight. He was to make it so it would be easy to see the Lord. And once they see the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be easy to get to Christ. What was John the Baptist's main ministry? His main ministry was to preach the message of repentance. What is that message? The message is that we are all sinners. That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that we need to be, in order for us to receive Christ, we first of all have to see our condition. That was what John's job was. He was to preach we're all sinners. He was to preach we've fallen short of the glory of God. He was to preach that we need a Savior. So that way, when the Savior appeared, we were ready to receive Him. And then once it was easy to get to Christ, it's easy to get to God because Jesus was that light. So John was a very important piece of the puzzle because for 400 years, the Bible had been silent. For 400 years, the people had drifted further and further away. For 400 years, the people were satisfied with their own righteousness, with their own religion. They thought they were fine as they were. They figured that they didn't need a Savior, that their rituals, their good works, their religion would save them. But none of that saved. None of that came close. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that they needed a witness of that light to prepare the way so the light would be ready to be received. Verse number 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might through him, or that all men through him might believe. Again, the idea of witness is carrying the idea of a court testimony. He was witnessing. He was to give an account. Now, John the Baptist is very important because in the Bible, they have what is called the vow of a Nazarite. A vow of a Nazarite would be something that people would make in order to make a promise to God. Now, most of the time, a vow of a Nazarite was a temporary thing. It'd be something they would do just for a small time. Someone would make a promise to God, and then they would keep the vow until they fulfilled it. Now, this vow would include a couple different things. First of all, they were supposed to stay away from any type of grape juice, whether it was fermented or non-fermented. They were just to stay away from that. In addition, they were to not touch any dead body. They were not to defile themselves. Then third of all, they were to allow their hair to grow out as men. Now, that growing out of hair was to show a public shame. I made a promise to God, and I have not yet fulfilled it. Now, there were three lifelong people who made a lifelong vow of a Nazarite: Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. One of them failed miserably. The other two were used of God quite a bit. John was a Nazarite. He had taken this vow, and he had a lifelong vow. His main purpose in his life was to be dedicated to prepare the way for the Lord, to be a testimony. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That was his job. That was his purpose, was to prepare the way, to make it straight, to be the person chosen of God to be a witness. Notice again as it goes on in verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, that him is not John, it's that light, that all men through that light might believe. John was to show people, you could believe in this light. He is what all you need. Verse number eight, he was not that light. The Bible's very clear. Don't be confused. John the Baptist was not the light. All he was the messenger. He was the forebearer. He's the one who came before. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was supposed to be like the moon. We all know that the moon does not have any light of its own. Well, then how do we see it at night? It reflects the light of the sun. It was to be a reflector of that light. Jesus was the true light. John was to reflect the light of Jesus and reflect it out so that way people would know I need to go to the source. The moon, if the sun went away, the moon has no light of its own. It can do nothing to light our way. It has to have the sun to be the source of light in order for it to produce the light and the darkness that we need. John was to be that reflection, that reflective light to prepare people to follow after God. Not only do you see that the light was witnessed, we see the light was rejected. The light was rejected. Notice now with me in verse number 9. That which was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This was the true light. This light was not limited. It was not regional. It was not hidden away for a chosen few. The light of Christ shines on every person. Every person who enters the world receives a measure of that light. We explained this morning in the book of Romans that everyone has the light of creation and the light of conscience. Everyone has evidence that there is a God and that they need to respond to that light. And light obeyed produces more light. God has made himself known every sunrise, every breath, every tug of right and wrong in the soul declares that there is a God. That light is enough to condemn, but it is not enough to save. That light is enough to let us know that there's a God, but it is not enough for us to know him. That light leads us to the true light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, and the tragedy is that the light, it wasn't that the light failed to shine. The tragedy was men refused to see that light. They refused to see it was Christ robed in darkness. Verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now again, we spent time this morning to explain that Jesus Christ was not the firstborn of creation, as in the idea of some people try to explain it, that God made Jesus and then Jesus did the rest of creation. We made a big deal this morning to explain that Jesus is the creator. They are the same being. That when God spoke the world in existence, let there be light, that was Jesus. So now imagine the one who made all of the worlds, the sun, the moon, the stars, made the planets, the molecules, made the breath, made man into a living image, made it, all of this. And this God robed himself in flesh and dwelt among his creation. When Jesus Christ was born, he didn't start at Bethlehem. He began at eternity past. He was always in existence. But at that moment, he robed himself in flesh and he dwelt among his creation. Now, you would almost think that if a creator was humbled himself and dwelt among his creation, you would almost expect his creation to be excited. The creator is here. The maker is here. Let's celebrate the one who made us all. But instead, they knew him not. They didn't recognize their own creator among them. They didn't recognize the one who breathed the world into existence was standing among them. The world knew him not. Few illustrations capture this as clearly as the life of Joseph. Sent by his father to go check on his brothers, Joseph came not to accuse, but to serve. He didn't bring a threat, but just concern. But when his brothers saw him coming, they conspired against him. They captured him with every intent to kill him. They threw off his coat, threw him in a pit, and sold him like merchandise. They rejected the very one who was sent to help them. So it was with Christ. He came from the Father to come to this earth, not to condemn this world, but out of concern. And he dwelt among them, and the world conspired against him and said, we will not have him rule over us. Let's get rid of him. And they captured him, tortured him, and killed him. The Creator God, the one who made them, they dared lift their hands against the Creator to kill him and to reject him. the same hands that made those people was put up on the cross. The same hands that made the Garden of Eden were stretched out in mercy and nailed to the cross. The very ones that he came to redeem were the ones that cast him out. They knew him not. Notice with me in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This makes it worse. They were not strangers. First of all, for mankind, Christ made mankind. But as we get specific, Jesus Christ came down, born of the tribe of Judah. He came to be the fulfillment of prophecy to the Hebrew people, to provide salvation as he promised to the Hebrew people. That you go through the Old Testament over and over and over, you see these wonderful promises that God was going to send a Redeemer. All the way from the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the promise of a Redeemer. When he spoke to Abraham, he promised a Redeemer. He reaffirmed it to Isaac and promised a Redeemer. When he talked to David, he promised a king. When he talked to Solomon, he confirmed, I promised David a king, and this king is going to come from you. Over and over, the promises were made. Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those promises. The things that the Hebrew people supposedly were looking for and hoping for, Jesus was that fulfillment. And when he got here, they rejected him. They received him not. We were to update it, hashtag not my Messiah. They rejected him. The very God who loved him, they killed. The very God that created him, they set him aside. The very God who was the fulfillment of promises, they murdered. He loved him so much. He wanted to be with him. He loved him so much, he came on this earth, and they rejected his love. Oh, if we were to end the story here, it would end in tragedy. This Creator God rejected of his creation. The promised Messiah rejected by the same people he was sent to save. His own received him not. But then we have one more thing. The light gives power to become the sons of God. The light gives power to become the sons of God. Notice, if you don't mind, the very next word in verse number 12. But. That single word, but, swings the whole passage on a hinge. The world may have rejected that light, and his own may have turned against him, but that was not the end of the story. There were some who did receive him. As we think about the love of God and understand the love of God, the Creator God made his creation, and they sinned against him. They turned away. They didn't want him. So the Creator God robed himself in flesh and dwelt among them, so that way they can know him. And they rejected him. And you'd almost think, as a Creator God, if it was you or I, we would say, well, I'm done with this. Let's start over. Let's do something else. And he would have been within his rights. But it says, but, even though they rejected him, even though his own received him not, but, as many as received him, he gave power. He still died for them, even though they were trying to kill him. Even though they were trying to wipe him out of their minds and their thoughts, he still loved them. That is powerful love. To be rejected so thoroughly, and he still says, but I love you. Imagine such love. Imagine a relationship, an abusive relationship, where you have a husband who loves his wife, and she thoroughly and utterly rejects him. She abuses him. She plans on murdering him. And he still looks at it and says, but I still love you. What love? That's a weak analogy, because God was the creator. God in his own creation says, you say that you love us, but we don't care. You say you have the best for us, we don't want it. You say that you tell us the greatest way to live, we want our own way. You say that you want to die for us, let's help you out. They rejected him. But he still loved them. Now, for those of us who are saved, we know that on a Sunday night, it's very easy to say, oh, poor people, and oh, poor Jesus. But may I remind you, there was a time in your life where you rejected Jesus, where you did not want him to rule over you. And even after you got saved, there were times where you said, God, leave me alone. I want my own way. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to be in my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want you to do what you say. I don't want to listen. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Leave me alone. Give me a period of time where I can just have to myself. And we reject him. But, he loves us still with an everlasting love. As many times as we try to wipe him away, as many times as we try to walk away, as many times as we want to do our own thing, but what great love he has for us, to understand that after all of that rejection, he still wants to spend time with us. I'm thankful that he's 100% God. Even though he's 100% man, as the Lord Jesus Christ, he's 100% God, because none of us would deal with that. If we were so thoroughly rejected that someone was threatened to kill us, we'd probably be wise enough to stay away from them. All right, you're done. No more contact. We're done. And Jesus said, I know you hurt me. I know you said awful things to me. I know that you're ignoring me, but I love you still. I know that you don't want to read your Bible and let me talk to you. You don't want to hear my voice, but I still love you. Amen. I know that you are too busy, too preoccupied, too selfish, too self-dependent to speak to me in prayer, but I still love you anyways. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to drop it. I'm not going to stop loving you. What wonderful God that we have to show us such love. But, the world didn't want anything to do with him. But, he says, I'm going to provide salvation anyways. The world didn't want him to rule. He says, but, I'm still going to do this. Because there's some who will receive me. And I'm going to give them a change of relationship. I'm going to give them something different. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John now describes the miracle of a spiritual birth. There are three verbs here that mark the order: believe, receive, become. In the order that it happens, believe, receive, and become. All three of them are in this verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we were going to look at the order that it happens, it starts by belief, by recognizing that I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, that I have hurt, violated, offended a holy, righteous God. and that I recognize I deserve to be separated from God. I deserve an awful place called hell. I also recognize that I can't save myself. And intellectually, I understand that Jesus died for me, and I must believe. But belief is not just enough. You have to receive. You have to make it personal. I don't just believe Jesus died for me. I accepted that gift for myself. There was a time I received that gift, and something happened to me. I became the sons of God. God gave me a spiritual birth. There was two parts to mine, one to his. I believed, I received, and then he gave me the power, I became. We rejected God, we had nothing to do with him, but he still loved us anyways. And he gave us this opportunity to still believe in him, even though we had rejected him. Believe, receive, become. That's powerful things. That God says, I know you rejected me, but I'm giving you an invitation anyways. And I still want you to take it. I know that you said you didn't want anything to do with me, but I'm still handing this out to you anyways. I know that you said, leave me alone and never talk to me again, but I'm still giving you an open invitation to believe, receive, and then I'll give the power for you to become. I will change you. What a great God. Verse 13 goes and explains this supernatural act even more, that this new birth is becoming. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When it speaks about this brand new spiritual birth, because we believed the truth that Jesus is the only way, I received it for myself, this is for me, I need a Savior, I'm accepting it, God gave me the power to become the sons of God, now I have a new spiritual birth, and when this spiritual birth came, it did not come because of blood. I'm thankful for my three kids, but they are not Christians because they have a mom and a dad because they're a Christian. Amen. They were not Christians because they inherited it through blood. They had to accept it for themselves. Just because they're born into a Christian family or a professing family does not make them Christian. You are not Christian. You are not born again into God's family because of blood. You are not born again into God's family, transformed into a new creature by the will of the flesh. You can't close your eyes, clench your fist, and say, all right, I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to change. Come on, be a different. You can't do that. You can't change who you are. It's God that has to do a supernatural change in your life. It is not your work to make you born again. Amen. It's God's work. Yes, sir. He gave the power to become. He did the work. He did the power. He's the one who changed. It was not done by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man. Now, this one we need a reminder on. You cannot save anyone, and you cannot force someone to become a Christian. You cannot twist their arm. You cannot put a gun to their head. You cannot put a sword to their throat and say, get saved. You're a Christian now. You cannot force it. You cannot force anyone to become the sons of God. It is a personal decision everyone must make for themselves by believing the truth, receiving it for themselves. Then God gives the power to become the sons of God. He changes us. He does the work. Verse 13 again, which were born again, born spiritually, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It is God that does this. It is not achieved through human effort or human striving. No system, no religious act, no earthly power can produce it. This birth is only produced by God. Only God can make a sinner a son. Only God can take the rejected light and shine it in the hearts of the one who believes. John was a witness of the light. What was his job? His job was to prepare the way so it would be easy for people to receive the light. How did he do that? By preaching repentance. You're a sinner. You are wrong, and you need a Savior. And he waited for that time so that way when the Savior came, he says, there's the Savior you're looking for. That's who you need. That's who you need to believe. That's his job, was to prepare the way. Remember that people don't have the way prepared by just saying you're a good person, just keep going. People need to be told the truth that they're a sinner. Your actions offend God. We know that that's not a popular message, and John's message was not popular. And yet people came to hear because they needed to know the truth. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We know that this light was rejected. And even in our own lives, even after being born again, there are many times that we still don't want God in our life. We have a little corner of our life that said, God, you can have this day, but don't look over here. This is mine. Stay away from this part of my life. Stay away. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to read your Bible. By the way, when you do get to the place where you don't read the Bible, understand that you are rejecting this wonderful Savior who loved you so much. Why wouldn't you want to spend time with a Savior who loved you that much? Why would you reject such great love? When we don't pray to God, it is so messed up. Because he's the God who died for you. And you won't say to the God who died for you, thank you for, I'm so thankful that you died for me. Can I spend time with you? I'm so thankful that you took the bullet for me. What can I do for you? It's almost like if someone was to take a bullet from me. And then every time I see them afterwards, I just nod, what's up, and never speak to them ever again. Wouldn't that be messed up? When we refuse to speak to God, we're rejecting him and his great love. But, he still loved us still. And he still, as many times as we wipe him off, as many times as we turn our back, as many times as we plug our ears and pretend not to hear him, he still loves us. For those of us who are saved, we got saved the same way. By believing the truth, receiving the answer for ourselves. And then he gave the power to make us become. He changed us, gave this brand new birth. It was not something we could do ourselves, and it cannot be done outside of the power of God. What wonderful God we have. So again, I understand that on a Sunday night, for the most part, we're speaking to born-again people. Again, if you don't know Jesus, your Savior, there is a true light, and God wants to give you a gift. Get that settled tonight. But for those of us who are saved, understand that our actions, the way that we treat God, is still a big deal. He still loves you. That shouldn't make you feel like you could do whatever you want. It should humble us and say, Lord, I want to spend more time with you. I want to be with you even more to realize the love of God and the light that he has provided for us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.